My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hurts. Barkley dropped it. Wow. And that obviously stops the clock. They throw it on third down and three. It's fourth down. They don't pick up the first down, and this was there.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Third down, five. The ball at the 8 of Philadelphia. Cousins in the gun. Three receivers right. Looks into the nickel. The shotgun snap. The center block. The line drive throw. Far side. Caught. Touchdown at the pylon. London caught it chest high. Touchdown, Atlanta.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Eagles with a timeout and down by one. In the shotgun formation is Hurts. Four-man front, five in the secondary. Atlanta will rush five. Hurts back to throw. And as he goes, far side, pass intercepted. It's intercepted on a slide at the 30-yard line of Atlanta. They're going to win it.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080, The Fan. I was going to try to find your Kirkers drop. I don't know where any of our drops
what
are.
What is happening? Where's my boy Kirkers at?
I don't know.
He needs it after last night.
Yeah, way to go, Kirkers!
Yeah!
Where is that?
I think we have a... Don't we have the You Like That one in there, too? Or is that not a drop?
I know we have them. I just couldn't
that?
Find them.
You like that? He's wearing all of his chains after that game last night. Did you see that stat that popped up at the end? Second most fourth quarter comeback since like 2015 in the NFL.
I didn't expect that.
He won four of his last five Monday Night Football starts. Ooh, buddy, don't let Kirk Cousins get hot, man. Here come the Atlanta Falcons. Where's P1 Harley at? We all predicted his Falcons were going to get embarrassed on Monday Night Football.
Really?
I mean, I know I did. I didn't trust Kirk Cousins at all last night.
I don't think our tape says we thought they were going to get embarrassed.
I think I said he was going to get eaten alive on Monday Night Football in Philadelphia.
You bet against Kirkers.
I didn't bet the game last night, actually. I stayed away. I had a rough weekend. So I thought this is probably a good one to like, let's just watch this one stress-free and see how it plays out. But good for the Falcons, man. That was a horrible yet great game on Monday Night Football.
Let's just be honest here. That was one of the worst games of the weekend.
It was a terrible football
game. It was an awful, dreaded football game. The funny thing is you missed a chunk.
Yeah, I missed most of the first half dealing with Teddy Ballgame. And I look at the score. What was it, 7-6 at the
7-6.
Half?
And I said, you didn't miss anything.
No.
You just missed bad football.
Just missed a couple of field goals, a fourth down call, that's it.
And then I missed a chunk of the third quarter because, I took my dog on a walk and, did other things. And then I came back to the game and watched the fourth quarter. It was not a good game. It was so bad, in fact, that the beginning of the fourth quarter, they showed Kirkers roaming the sidelines in his ATL shouty jersey.
ATL shouty.
And all I thought was, not that Kirkers is the same level in his sport as this guy, but is this like watching Patrick Ewing in a Sonics uniform? Is this Hakeem in
a weird
Raptors uniform? Is this how this is going to age? Because they weren't doing anything at this point. And then they just won. And I'm like, well, okay, there's that thought. That's gone.
Totally redeem yourself. Bad football. People say this about the NBA sometimes, that you don't need to watch the first three quarters. Like, you just turn on the game in the fourth quarter. It's 85-83 going into the fourth. And all right, let's see how this game ends. Because that's really all you're going to remember from the game. Nobody's going to talk about, hey, did you see that 8-0 run they went on with 5 minutes to go in the first quarter?
Sure.
That was a nice little run. This game last night was the epitome of that.
It really was.
You turn the game on with 5 minutes to go. You get Philly's drive to try and ice it. Their decision on fourth down. You get the final drive from Atlanta. Everything that you needed to know that happened in that game last night happened in the last 5 minutes. That's all that will be talked about from that Monday Night Football game.
That's a good poll question. Could you have just turned that Monday Night Football game on with 5 minutes to go?
Yes.
And gotten the gist of the game?
Somebody texted in, I went to bed before Cousins' last drive. Thought, no way they score a touchdown.
Really?
I work early in the morning, get up at 1 a.m. I'm not complaining. Sleep is for the weak. But, yeah, there was that thought,
1 a.m. is a different level of psychotic behavior that we experience some psychotic behavior here on this show.
We do.
1 a.m. is an absolute different level there. But I would say to that person is, and look, value your sleep. I know it's Kirkers. Mm-hmm. I know all the jokes write themselves.
You had faith in my boy last night?
He got that ball back with like a minute 40. It wasn't like it was 30 seconds and they went the full length of the field.
No.
A minute 40 in the NFL.
It's an eternity.
It is an eternity. I want to play something for you, okay? We had a lot from yesterday's awful Monday Night Football game that I don't know why, but in my head I'm like, oh, we got a nice little football game tonight. And I don't know, the game started, I was like, why did I think this?
Yeah, this is going to be ugly.
So this was Matt Ryan. I watched the Manning cast. This was a Manning cast game for me. Any game that is not good.
7-6 at halftime with very little offense.
It's very boring. I love me some Buck and Aikman. I just get away from traditional. I'll go a little wacky and weird. And so I watched the Manning cast. And Matt Ryan was on in the fourth quarter. And by the way, side note, this is not in the audio. Did you watch the Manning cast? Did you watch regular broadcast?
I just saw the clips of the Manning cast. I didn't see all of them, but I saw a good chunk of them because they usually pop up on social media.
A fun fact about Matt Ryan on the show with the Mannings. Eli Manning, and he did not admit this on the air. He will not admit this publicly. Eli Manning forgot that Matt Ryan was a Falcon. Philly was driving. Matt Ryan is on the broadcast. When you think Matt Ryan, what team do you think of?
The Atlanta Falcons.
Philly is driving.
He won an MVP and went to a Super Bowl.
Towards the end zone.
Yeah.
And Eli goes, Matt, what do you want to see them do here? Run it into the end zone? You want to see them throw it into the end zone? And Matt Ryan was like, he's like, because they could throw it. And, it'd be really good for Hurts and the Eags if they can get it in here.
Yeah.
And Ryan goes, I'd like a pick six.
Rooting for Atlanta here.
And Peyton goes, Eli, he's from Philly, but, you know, he's clearly going to be rooting for the Falcons here. And Eli realized in that moment that he did not remember that Matt Ryan was a lifelong Falcon.
Light bulb moment. How do we not all remember Matt Ryan as an Indianapolis Colt? What are we doing here? He's a legendary Colt.
Then Eli pivoted and tried to go, well, yeah, but, you know, Pay, he used to root for the Eagles at one point. You know, is there any of that still there? And Matt's like, I played there several times, Eli, and as you would know, because you were a Giant,
yes,
they tend to make you not want to like them anymore.
Yes, they are very, very rude as a fan base.
I just was sitting on my couch like, wow, it can't get worse than this. Eli Manning could not remember that Matt Ryan was an Atlanta Falcon and that he's actively rooting for the Falcons to win this game.
Yeesh, that's bad. And I did not see that clip. That's bad.
And then Matt Ryan said, hold my beer till the end of the fourth quarter. So it's sub 2 minutes. It's Philly about to go, you know, try to convert where Saquon dropped it.
Third and three, minute 40 to go.
A timeout is called. It is 18-15 is the score. Philly is deep in Atlanta territory. It's third down, and now Atlanta has no timeouts. Okay? That's the scene, And this is what Matt Ryan chimed in with.
All right, so they'll get the ball. Let's do some math here.
So they got to
kick a field goal, a minute 10.
You got to run it. You get it back with in a minute. Minute, get a touchdown, no timeout.
Yeah. You got to stop them here.
I was always in these situations, guys, like, as soon as we do this, let's get the ball back. Let's get into field goal range, kick that field goal as fast as possible, and then let's go for that onside kick and try and just save as much time as you can for that end of game Hail Mary. Like, to me, it's that's your only chance now.
What?
But it's a three, so you can hold them to a field goal. You hold them to a field goal, you're down, you're down six.
You gotta hold them here.
You hold them here. You're only down six.
18-15.
Yeah.
Philly ball.
One possession game.
They're driving.
If they kick a field goal, still a one possession game.
And Matt Ryan goes, Zach Galifianakis from Hangover, interrupts Peyton. I don't like to make a speech here.
Here's what I would do.
And says, I would hold for a Hail Mary.
I'm really confused right now.
When they interrupt him and go, well, you kick a field, you hold no field goal here. His eyes open as if he was concussed and he had just woken up.
I don't know what the score. Did he not have the score bug? Is there like a Manning pass problem where there's not a graphic on the bottom?
Now, was that further out? Because I had a thought as time was running down, is like, okay, do you let him score a touchdown at some point just to get the ball back and try and pull
this
off?
This was before the Saquon drop.
Okay.
The third and three drop.
Third and three.
That everybody's talking about today because it stopped the clock and it gave Atlanta a free timeout, and that's why they got
when
the ball back.
When they were out
like 40.
On the 25-yard line or something.
No, Matt Ryan says at that point he kicks a field goal so he can onside kick to give himself the best shot of the Hail Mary.
Somebody's not doing math.
Does he not realize
that
they were... I'm really confused right now.
So I watched this in real time and it went
really
viral.
Confused.
I watched it in real time and I went, what is happening that I'm missing?
The hell is he talking about?
Because I had the thought, I just thought Philly was going to run out the clock.
Yeah.
Quite frankly. And so I had the thought they were around the 25 or something, or around the 20. And I'm like, do you let them score so you can get the ball back and try and pull off a miracle? Because if Philly just keeps the ball, you're hooped.
Well, they would have scored if he didn't drop the football.
Well,
they would have. And if they would have got one more first down, they would have ran the clock out and the game would have been
over.
That
was the thing. He could get a first down on the three or something and... So I'm like, we need the ball.
As bad as that game was, I thought that game was just hilarious because all the logical things to do didn't happen. And yet, all of the things that were logical that didn't happen, it ended up like going against and working. So, for example, everybody's like, you should run the football there. Atlanta has no timeouts. Okay, that's a fair point. It's fourth down. Are they going to go for it again or kick the field goal and still be up six?
I would go for it, but that's my two cents.
But if he catches the football, nobody's questioning if you run the football
on
there, right?
On a play that I think the previous drive or the drive that they scored the touchdown on previously, they ran the same damn play and he got it and almost scored a touchdown.
Yeah, that's right. He was down at like the 1-inch yard line or whatever.
And Saquon drops a perfectly placed football.
And it was perfectly executed other than Saquon got alligator arms.
And I didn't disagree with our guy here, but Dirt's like, You're leaving too much time. And I largely agreed with it. When Drake London caught the ball, he should have stayed in bounds and killed 20 seconds.
Yeah.
I wasn't talking about that time. I was talking about Philly not run. If I were Philly in that situation, I just run the football twice. And that's the one. I wasn't talking about Atlanta with the clock. I was talking about Philly running the ball on third down. And then if you just fall forward for a yard, the same outcome happens if you decide to kick a field goal, yet there's less than a minute to go now when you give the ball back to him.
Gotcha.
So it's an ultimate Monday morning quarterback thing to say, why would you throw that? Because if he catches it, nobody's coming in saying, why would you throw that ball? But there is the inherent risk when you throw it that a guy could drop it and the clock stops. So that's the one that I was talking about.
Well, Peyton in real time was like questioning the Falcons of like, they need to be killing clock here.
No,
Eli.
You just score in that situation.
And I certainly understand it, but then they scored, and then they picked Jalen Hurts off, and I'm like, well, it's so much for that theory, huh?
Yeah, that's one where you need a touchdown to take the lead, and it's one thing if you're down by two and you're playing for the field goal in that situation, then you run the ball, you make Philly use their timeouts, you settle for your field goal whenever you want to, but you can't, if you need a touchdown, you got to take it if it's there, and they scored, and the game worked out for them.
I want to hear Barkley. I didn't hear Barkley on his drop pass.
Let my team down today. Shouldn't have put the defense in that position. Made that catch, game's over. relax, get back to my old habits, and just got to go back and get back to work.
You said something after that game wrapped. You said you were jealous of Philly.
I'm jealous of their fans, dude. They booed the hell out of their team as they were walking off the field. And I love that energy, man. I love that. The way their year ended last year.
They're 2-7 in the last nine games.
2-7 in their last nine games. They lost a game that they should have. They had no business losing that game.
It was
at
99.9% win percentage probability before that third down drop, and then it went straight to 100 for the Falcons with the Drake London touchdown.
It just, you have no business losing. And I, when they let them hear it as they're walking off the field, I'm always jealous of that, man. I hate the happy-go-lucky fans. Yeah, we tried hard. Good game, guys. Way to give out good effort. Dude, they booed the hell out of them, and that's the way that it should be. You let a victory slip through your fingers, and that might end up costing you a division, home field advantage, a play. Like, I don't know how the rest of their year is going to go. They're a good team. They should be in the mix. But that game, you could look back on at the end of the year and be like, hey, you know why you're a game behind the Cowboys in the NFC standings? Because you blew it in week two against Atlanta when you should have won.
Every time you do that, I feel like you are subliminally talking about us.
Blazer fans, yes. Absolutely, well, Blazer
Portland
fans.
Portland sports fans in general.
I mean, I don't know what Timbers fans are like. I don't know what our
do Timbers fans boo
Timbers
their team?
Fans are more likely to
boo
and
to boo a bad loss?
Yeah.
Okay.
They've when they've had crappy halves or whatever, they've let them know.
Yeah, which is good. You should let them know.
Now, they won't, you know, fire away like Philly fans will, but if it's just god-awful putrid, they will let you know.
Well, Duck fans did this to them in week two against Boise. They were booing them after the first possession. It was like, dude, no, get your heads out of your you-know-what.
When they ran it three straight times and punted, they booed. Good, you should boo. It's embarrassing, man. Hold them to a standard. Don't say Duop Reith is untouchable on the trade market, okay?
Should sports fans in the state of Oregon boo more?
Yes, we need a little more
boo our own teams more.
Need a little more sand in our pants, if you will. You know, we need to be tougher.
Well, that game was terrible.
It was
a delightful ending.
Kirk Cousins, baby, what a comeback! Huh? What a
moment!
It.
You're not buying it.
Michael Penix.
How do you like me now?
I like you now, Kirk.
You're not buying it.
Michael Penix.
You buying Atlanta?
Trending on social media in the second quarter. You ain't seeing that field anytime soon, buddy. You ain't seeing that field anytime soon. That's game-winning drive, Kirk Cousins, to you, bitch.
I know it's the NFL. Do either one of those teams seem very trustworthy?
No, not at all, man. He doesn't look comfortable. He can't move very well. He's not planting off his back foot. It was just hilarious how quickly they were able to get into, we're going to score range. Like, it was three plays. You look up, first one was like an 11-yard gain, then they hit the long one down the sideline, and then another long one down the sideline. You're like, oh. Because I think the wife had just gotten home from work, so I'm watching out of the corner of my eye after Philly kicked a field goal. I'm like, it's probably over. And I'm looking up like, wait a minute, they're going to score here. And so I had to sit down and lean forward in the chair. Let's go.
More teams should be running two-minute offenses if their teams don't start out well.
Yes.
I don't understand. I never understand.
Tempo, on the ball. Let's go. Move it.
Well, speaking of move it, we got to move it. We've got a busy show. There's a lot to discuss. We've got the mail sack today. Let's start in Carolina. We have a depressed radio host, and Bryce Young's been benched. Next on The Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Well, Bryce Young's been benched. That was quick.
18 games into his career.
2-16.
Ooh, buddy, that's not good.
55% completion percentage. You could tell the small quarterback from Alabama was not going to figure this out. Now, what's interesting is where people think this stems from. Is this a Canales thing, a Tepper thing? Because Canales said on Sunday immediately after the game, Bryce Young's our guy. And then yesterday announced...
Yeah, next day.
...that he benched him. Here is Dave Canales... let's see, where is it? Where is this, Weigard?
Dave Canales. Searching.
Oh, here it is. So Dave Canales was asked about Dave Tepper's role. Did Tepper have a say in this, Canales? Here's Canales.
I want to keep that private. yes. What I would like to say, though, is this is something after I watched the film, I looked at it, had a thought, started working on talking to the guys that we make decisions with. Certainly a lot of parties involved there. And ultimately, this comes on me, and my number one responsibility is to help the Panthers win. And so this move, I believe, puts us in the best chance to do that this week.
This move, according to the reports, on Bryce Young's side, was shocking. Something he did not see coming.
Yeah.
Canales refuses to talk about Dave Tepper and his role in this. Do you think this was owner-driven or Canales-driven?
I think the owner calls all the shots in Carolina. He gets to dictate what happens inside that organization. He has already publicly said that any time a major personnel decision is made, he needs to be included in that decision. And if you're a billionaire and you own the team, and knowing what we know about him, there is zero chance he didn't have a hand in this. And Canales just calls him up. Hey, Dave, remember all that stuff you traded for the number one overall pick? Remember that horrible trade that we made of DJ Moore, the number one overall pick in the next draft, our one, our two? Remember all that we traded? Yeah, that guy that we selected 18 games into his career, I'm going to go ahead and bench him without your awareness. So yeah, this is going to work out well for us. It's just... he definitely had a hand in it. They are in the running for the worst run organizations in all of sports.
Can you give me one that right now feels worse run? Is it the White Sox?
White Sox, Colorado Rockies.
A's.
Yeah, A's definitely in
there. There's some baseball teams that are pretty bad.
So the Giants are up there, but at least they have some recent history that I guess you could point to. Like 15 years ago, they won a Super Bowl, so that was cool. But outside of that, I mean, they're in the running for that. And I would be shocked if the owner didn't make this phone call and acknowledge, look, we're going to take a quarterback number one overall. I think this is one of those where there's truth to both sides of it. On one side, Bryce Young got absolutely hosed. Like, he was given no opportunity to succeed. They fired his head coach halfway through his rookie year. The dude's played 18 NFL games, and he's had three different head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Reich, whoever the hell they hired as their interim guy last...
Wasn't it the defensive guy?
I don't remember. Was Wilkes their interim?
No,
Wilkes was in San Francisco.
Oh, you're right.
He was the Niners DC last year.
That's right.
Year.
He should have gotten the head coaching gig,
Wilkes
but should they have gave gotten it to Reich.
They gave it to Reich, then
Wilkes
fired him.
Went to San Francisco.
So yeah. I can't remember who their interim guy was at the end of the year, and then Canales is here. So he's three head coaches in 18 games. Like, you have no, who's his best offensive player? Play that fun
well,
game.
Well, this year, it'd be Chuba Hubbard.
Okay. Chuba Hubbard.
Chuba Hubbard. Adam Thielen's not awful.
I mean, he's...
I watched some NFL Live yesterday. They showed plenty of routes where he was wide open.
I'm not saying that they don't have anybody, but it just speaks to what some of these other young quarterbacks have had the opportunity to work with. If Adam Thielen and Chuba Hubbard are your two best offensive players, you're not giving him much help. But at the same time, he has been so bad that you can't really excuse to continue to play him. Like, he is legitimately awful and has no hope right now. And
he can throw a screen pass.
It's one of those where both sides is true. They absolutely screwed him, but you also have to do this because he can't complete a pass.
Here is a radio show. We've had one of the hosts of this show on our program twice, including the last time was to talk about them drafting Bryce Young. And he said the jersey's already been, you know, stitched up and ready to present and show. And we were like, you guys all sure about that pick? And he was like, yeah, man, it's great. And, you know, we questioned it pretty openly on this program. This is the Mac Attack. It's on WFNZ in Charlotte. It's a pretty popular morning program.
It was my brother's favorite radio show when he lived in Charlotte, North Carolina.
It's a really good program. They do a good job on that show. And the main host is Mac, okay? But he's not the first one talking in this clip. The Panthers just got housed. They look awful. Bryce Young is a bust. Listen to the intro. This is the start of their radio show on Monday following their Sunday performance.
Here was it. You okay over there? I know you're not okay, but just in general for you this morning, all right?
I contemplated, I don't know, throwing myself down the stairs and having someone have to drive me to the hospital. It was a close call. I have decided that talking Panthers for 4 hours is better than going to the hospital. So that's my decision, but I'm here, baby.
At least you're talking with people, right?
Let's do this.
You're not just talking to yourself.
Oh, I've been talking to myself a lot. Talking to myself, talking to my dogs last night. The look on my face, Bone Man. And by the way, hello, everybody.
Good morning, Mac.
I apologize to Bone.
That's okay.
I don't really care about Fitty, seriously. I apologize to the Panther fans out there. I should have been here on time. Should have been here on time. But I want to say this, Bone. The look on the faces of Rocket and Bacon, my two dogs last night, when I put the game on and they had to watch it a second time.
Oh, no.
Even the dogs are looking at me like, bro, you really going to watch this crap again? My mother made me sit through this earlier. You going to put this on? That's the look that they gave me.
Contemplating throwing themselves down staircases instead of talking about the Panthers.
Things are going great. I want to send myself to the hospital instead of having to do a radio show about how our organization has no hope and no future. And we have the worst owner in the NFL.
I read yesterday? They have a soccer team like the Timbers. Guess who it's owned by?
Tepper. Is he owned them too?
And they are a disaster.
That sounds about right.
Evidently, they are very poorly run, and they're not very good. And I just went, yeah, that tracks. That tracks.
Bad owner and one usually make the other. All his money in.
Wasn't he I was going to say Microsoft, but I know that's not right.
Founder of Appaloosa Management.
Okay.
Whatever the hell that is.
Hedge fund or something.
Yeah, global hedge fund based in Miami Beach, Florida.
Yeah.
So he's a hedge fund.
So he didn't necessarily manage people. He just crunched numbers.
Just crunched numbers. I mean, he's a horrible people person. If you're coming in, and this is the one thing that the pro Jody Allen, which I don't know why you'd be pro Jody Allen, but this is the one reason that people tell me, well, I always be careful. You never know who's going to buy it. Because when David Tepper bought the Panthers, the other guy was grabbing ladies' butts in the office, mm-hmm. and they had to tear down his statue. And so you think, you can't really get any worse than that. And you can't from like a PR standpoint. But there's just no guarantee that even if you get a billionaire that comes in, one, he's going to know what he's doing. And two, he's going to hire people that know how to actually run an NFL team. And that's been their biggest issue there. Is this guy, what did he buy the Panthers for? $4 billion or whatever it was?
Something like that.
Coming
three
in.
Three and a half, I think.
Saying, I spent all this money. I'm going to call the show. I'm the guy. You run everything by me. I get the final say in all of our personnel decisions. And it has been an absolute disaster. And as long as he does that and doesn't get out of his own way, this is the Jerry problem in Dallas, man. Hire somebody who knows how to run a football team and let them run a football team. Stop pretending that you know what you're doing. You haven't won a meaningful playoff game in 30 years. And so this guy wants to call the shot. shots, as long as he's going to do that, you won't succeed. Guess who they're going to draft number one overall next year in April? I'm calling it right now. Shedeur Sanders. That's going to be their pick. Let's get excitement. Let's get butts in the seats. Get the prime effect to Carolina.
Why do you think that's going to be the pick?
They're going to have the number one overall pick, likely.
Yes.
And they are going to take a quarterback, and I think they're going to take Shedeur Sanders.
Over like Quinn Ewers
yes.
or something?
Yeah. I don't trust them to make the right pick, and I think that's the pick they're going to make.
Well, I would say this, too, is like that's the important part is not trusting them. Shedeur, Quinn Ewers, whoever the hell it is, I just sadly wouldn't trust it, and it's not even all the player's fault. What is that player going to go to?
Nothing. Are you bringing Canales back, or are you going to hire another head coach? Are you going to fire him after 1 year?
I mean, let's talk about this very quickly. So Bryce Young is not good. He's benched. We know he's in the Jamarcus Russell conversation for sure as the worst number one overall pick ever. Canales is supposed to be the genius?
Yeah.
Bryce Young's gotten worse. Offensively, they look inept.
They've been outscored 70-13.
How's Tampa looking?
Pretty good.
They looking like they missing anybody?
Nope.
I would argue Baker might look better. He looks more confident. And I'm not saying it's like, oh, I'm more free of Dave Canales. I'm just saying, like, he built his confidence last year. Canales left. And it feels like his play is elevated, if not stayed the same. They just got a massive win on the road at Detroit.
They did. They're 2-0.
And so I questioned even hiring him. He had 1 year of like, oh, Tampa's a fun story. We're going to hire that guy. Okay, I guess. And then big porn addiction guy.
Hey, look at this. I had a problem back in the day.
Just nothing about that organization. They are easily the worst one in football. As bad as the Giants are,
yep.
And as bad as the Broncos have been, and as bad as the Commanders feel, it's the Panthers.
Yeah, it's not even close right now, I would argue.
All those other teams feel like they can draft or dig their way out of their hole. The Giants will fire their GM. Maybe they keep the coach. The Giants have won. We've seen them win.
Mm-hmm.
The Broncos in my lifetime have largely been the most consistent, and they've gone through a real lull since winning that Super Bowl. But if they don't succeed this year, do they bounce off of Peyton and say, we're tired of giving you all the power? You can get out of that. The Commanders are restarting right now. Jaden Daniels has looked fine. Their defense isn't very good. The Panthers don't feel hopeful in any way.
No.
There's nothing about the Panthers that makes you go, oh, yeah, I could see it in like 2 years. I could see them turning this around next year.
The future is bright, man, right around the corner. And then you add to that, they tried multiple retread quarterbacks, Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield. And it is very early in the season. Baker has proven himself in Tampa. They went to the playoffs last year and won a game. So I'm not going to do it with him. Very early for Sam Darnold. We'll see how the rest of the year goes. But it just adds on top of all of this that you had both those guys in your locker room. You tried the retread thing, and they both were terrible for your team. And they have both been very good since leaving Carolina. And so it leaves you no confidence. They should legitimately write a book about how to not handle a rookie quarterback and have it be entirely featured on what Carolina did to Bryce Young. Now, that being said, I don't think he would have succeeded no matter where he went. He's 5'7". You can't play the NFL quarterback being 5'7".
Oh, you can kiss a small quarterback being drafted high. It's gone.
It will never happen again. You shouldn't have never done it in the first place. He's way too small, and we all said he's way too small. This isn't going to work. But they did nothing to help him, and people should write books and showcase it to other NFL teams. This is how you fail a young quarterback, because they've done everything wrong.
We will get to some college football odds and ends coming up at 6:45. Up next, the trend is going this way. How we feel about that next on The Fan. Well, the NFC West is off to an interesting start. We've got the 1-1 Cardinals, who just demolished the Rams. We've got the 0-2 Rams, who are all in the hospital. The 1-1 Niners are really reeling right now with injuries. Debo is out a couple weeks now with a calf strain.
Yeah, McCaffrey on the IR.
McCaffrey's on the IR.
And your first place undefeated Seattle Seahawks.
And your Seattle Seahawks, heard here on The Fan every weekend or Monday or Thursday or maybe an occasional Tuesday, maybe a Christmas Wednesday. Just depends on the day, the time, the year, etc. They are in first place at 2-0. We're going to have Brian Nemhauser. He does a Hawk blogger. He's covered the team for years. He's written some interesting things about their defense with Mike McDonald. Statistically speaking, they are a top five defense right now. They look the part. Geno, I mentioned it in the NFL Factoids over the weekend. He had no off-target throws with 40-plus attempts against the New England Patriots. And their sack rate isn't particularly great if you want to nitpick or criticize. But Seattle off to a really nice start, 2-0 in what appears to be early, a weird NFC West.
A very weird NFC West. Like somebody tweeted us too, speaking of this, about Kyler Murray and saying there's no way that Bryce Young is shorter than Kyler Murray. And I don't know what the difference is in height and what they're measured at and what they're listed at. But what I would say, the glaring difference is Kyler Murray is an elite athlete. He is one of the best athletes in the NFL. And there are still questions, despite his start this season, about where he ranks and what can he accomplish. He's had really good starts to years. There was a couple of years ago, I want to say like 8 weeks through the season, he was the MVP front runner, and then he got banged up. He couldn't move around as much. You could hem him into the pocket, and everything kind of collapsed for the Cardinals the rest of the way. So that's the primary difference. Bryce Young is not an elite athlete, but that's not the segment we're doing.
I would also say Young was drafted after Murray. Murray has accomplished nothing in his career. He's not won a playoff game.
No, I think he's been to the playoffs once and hasn't won a game.
He's just coming back from a season-ending injury.
Yep.
And if you want to argue like physical differences, he might not be taller than Bryce Young. He's clearly thicker, and you can just see he clearly has a stronger arm.
You can.
There was nothing about Bryce Young going into that draft to me that was like, yeah, can't miss prospect at number one that you trade stuff for.
No, really good college quarterback, but his size was always a primary concern and will be when you have offensive linemen who are a foot taller than you. Makes it a little bit difficult to throw the football. Here's the tough part that I have with the NFC West right now.
Okay.
As we're talking about the Cardinals, again, we've seen them have really good starts to years. Now, is this it? Is this the year they're going to stay healthy and put it all together and be in the mix in week 12, week 13, week 14, week 15? Or is this going to be another year where Kyler gets off to a great start, he's running around making plays, then he tweaks a hamstring and he can't quite move, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden they're a little more one-dimensional offensively? That's the hard read that I have with the Cardinals. And all the numbers on the Seahawks and the metrics, they look amazing. They've also played a rookie quarterback in his first start in the NFL, which you should desperately win that game. And then they went on the road and played a team who maybe is more feisty than I have given them credit for. But I still genuinely believe that the New England Patriots are one of the worst teams in the NFL. And time will bear that out as the season goes on.
I don't believe them to be a playoff team, certainly.
Yeah. And then this week, Seattle's coming home. And who do they get at home this week?
They get the Miami Dolphins, who just lost their quarterback and are probably going to play Snoop Huntley,
or probably.
Or Skylar Thompson.
Skylar Thompson. And so you're going to go to 3-0, and I'm going to look at you and say, are you good? I know you're...
You don't know if they're good.
I know they're not bad. How about that? I know the Seahawks are not bad, but are they a legitimate contender in the NFC? And I can't draw that conclusion off of Bo Nix and Jacoby Brissett.
That's an interesting poll question. Do you know they're not bad, or do you know they're good? The Seattle Seahawks. That's something we should throw up on the Twitter at Dirt and Sprague.
I mean, Geno's looked awesome, but some of your defensive numbers, like those are going to be inflated because of who you play.
Well, but your coordinator, so Hawk blogger Brian Nimhauser, who will be on the show on Thursday, he wrote a piece about defense and how innovative McDonald has been in his young career. And you're seeing this kind of around the league. The reason these quarterbacks are struggling, Dirt, blitz disguises, coverage disguises, they're waiting until last seconds to get in there, what they're going to run defensively. They're throwing quarterbacks off left and right. It's why these numbers are so down. And many are arguing defense is now caught up to the offense.
Yeah.
For a long time, we were like, well, should we even count these stats? It seems very unfair to the NFL past legends that, like, Mahomes will have... Well, suddenly it's a struggle to throw for 300 yards in a game.
It is.
So it's just, it's interesting to see what the impact he has had defensively. Again, they're still not getting to a quarterback at an elite level. That's troubling. But everything else for them has gone well so far. To your point, Jacoby Brissett and Bo Nix don't necessarily scream, we've really been tested here.
Not a playoff quarterback.
But I also think they're going to win this week, and because they're hosting Miami, and I just don't trust what Miami has right now, given their quarterback uncertainty. And, you know, going 3-0, the percentages say you've got a leg up on a ton of teams to get in the dance.
No question about that.
Now, where do they stack in the NFC? I tend to just say this, and I said it yesterday. I don't think I'm drawing conclusions of anybody outside of the obvious offers for like the first 8 weeks.
That's a fair
assessment. 9 weeks. I want to see these teams and really get a feel for what they've done, who they've beat, how they look to me. I'm not going to say you're 3-0. Oh, you're a contender to win the NFC this year.
And the success, do they have in games that they are winning and are successful? Does the game plan look repeatable, or are there fluky things that happen? Like last night, Philly gave Atlanta a chance to win it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying this is a fluky thing per se.
No. But that's what you want to see after six. Okay, you're 5-2 after seven games and a bye.
Sure.
What do those five wins look like? How many of them look the same or similar, as opposed to how much of it is, you know, some random stuff happening that happens in the NFL? Yes.
There's little things that happen in games all the time. The Patriots are up 6 if Julian Love doesn't block a field goal.
Yes.
Like if the Seahawks house...
That's a difference, right?
If they house the Dolphins at home, but Skylar Thompson's there and they have to put Tyler Huntley in, how much stock are you putting in that?
I don't think you're putting a lot of stock into that. You're happy. I mean, you take the dub any time in the National Football League. Minshew just beat Lamar Jackson, but I don't think you're going in there and you're saying, well, we're 3-0. We just beat Snoop Huntley and Skylar Thompson. We're now the front runner of the NFC. The NFC might just be really weird this year, too. On the other side of that, maybe they will prove themselves to be a legit contender.
They could. I mean, the Lions haven't looked great through 2 weeks.
Nope.
Tampa is a 2-0 team, but I think there's a bit of this with them as well.
Are the Saints going to score 40 a game?
Right, are the Saints for real? When does Jordan Love play again, and can they continue to win games with Malik Willis at quarterback? Are the Vikings an actual playoff team? I don't know. Like, the Bears were a hot team coming in, and now nobody's picking them through 2 weeks. So, to that point, the NFC might just be funky. What I would say in the next couple of weeks, one, the concern for them defensively is that they gave up nearly 200 rushing yards to New England. You knew New England was going to run the ball. They were able to run the ball on you. That's going to be a blueprint that's out there that you got to get better at against certain teams who are going to be better offensively. They're likely going to win this weekend. If you don't, different conversation. You're 3-0. That does mean it's a great chance for you to make a run to get to the playoffs. But I think when it comes to can they make noise, you then go to Detroit on Monday Night Football, where you've had success in years past, but that's a playoff team. You get the lowly Giants back at home.
That should be a win.
And then you have a 5-game stretch where you get the 49ers at home, the Falcons on the road, the Bills at home, the Rams at home, and then the 49ers on the road. So that's a stretch. I don't know how healthy the Niners are going to be. I don't know quite what to make of Atlanta through 2 games. They should be 0-2.
Bills are the only one in there that I'm like, oh.
Yeah, the Niners have also body bagged the Seahawks how many times in a row now?
Well, the Niners are a different situation right now than they have been in years past.
No doubt. They're banged up. But that's also a team that you're going to have to beat if you want to win the division. And if you're Seattle and you want to make noise in the playoffs, winning the division, having a bye, having home field advantage, all of that stuff can come into play. And so that's a stretch. The Rams, I know, look like a shell of themselves right now, but that game's in 2 months. What are the Rams going to look like in 2 months? I don't know. So I think that's a stretch where you're going to find out a lot more. You win this weekend, your odds will exponentially increase to make the playoffs because of how chaotic the NFC is.
College football odds and ends, and then some Pac-12 conversation at the top of the hour next on The Fan. All right, we got some Pac-12 updates. We'll revisit the poll question yesterday where the responses did not match the poll results. That was fascinating.
A lot of yes votes and a lot of no responses.
Yes, there was. Are we ready for this in sports?
Ooh.
I just want to throw that at you in the second hour of the program.
Ooh.
But I want to get some college football odds and ends. We won't have all the time to get all the leftovers from week 3. Texas is now number 1, according to the poll. That doesn't matter, but we use it because we need numbers next to teams, but the playoff committee is a bunch of cowards who won't tell us how they feel or think.
I don't have any issue with Texas being number 1.
You think they're number 1?
I don't know that they are number 1.
Who's the best team in football? Go.
I wonder if Tennessee's not the
there
best
you go.
Team in
football.
Georgia. Georgia's the best team in
they
football.
Barely beat Kentucky.
That's
answer
fine.
It. Why?
That's fine. Georgia.
Okay.
Because they've won 2 national titles, and the last time they barely beat Kentucky, they won a national title.
Arch Manning might be Texas's quarterback going forward for the next couple weeks.
This is a very funny situation.
He ran 20 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Didn't appear the offense skipped a beat.
Didn't appear that he got his genetics from his uncles.
9 of 12, 276 total yards and 5 touchdowns.
That was grandpa's speed.
Well, Cooper was a wide receiver.
I know, and his dad, Arch, was actually a pretty mobile quarterback.
Well, running for your life all those years with the Aints will speed you up.
Well, he's got some Oiler highlights, too. Or he's some under. Go look at Arch Manning as an Oiler. He has a play where I think collectively he runs like 49 yards on one play. He ends up throwing underhand a pass to an Oiler player, and they end up picking up the first down after he has already ran like 30 yards back.
The brilliance of Arch, man. It is funny because Quinn Ewers is likely the number one guy for the Heisman Trophy right now, very early, but his win at Michigan, he's played great. He's probably the leader in the clubhouse right now, I would imagine.
I believe he is, yes.
And it's just hilarious to have a fan base who has the front runner for the Heisman Trophy when he goes down. I mean, you're happy that it's not a significant injury, but I guarantee you there's a small part of Texas fans that was like, we'll get to see Arch.
They do have a weird thing with that. Ewers has been awesome, and I think they like Ewers, but seeing Arch, there's something about seeing Manning on the jersey. It's just like, oh my God.
His first play, he threw like a 40-yard touchdown pass, and then his second drive, he had like a 50-yard touchdown run, five total touchdowns. He is going to torch teams that they have, like Louisiana Monroe or something this week.
Yeah.
And it's a bad
slate of college football again.
It's again another bad slate. I think they have back-to-back total duds before they play Oklahoma, and they're assuming that Quinn Ewers is going to be back for
Oklahoma.
Yeah, Oklahoma's
October 12th.
Okay, October 12th. So I think they have two more duds in the next 2 weeks, and he is going to light them up.
Ole Miss beat Wake Forest so bad this weekend that Wake Forest bought their way out of the home and home. They spent $1 million to Ole Miss to not play them next year.
Good for Lane Kiffin for calling this out. This is chicken-ass behavior.
It is chicken-ass behavior.
If you're afraid to go play a team like Ole Miss, then you should be demoted to a power, like, you're not a power conference
team. Yeah, give Oregon State that ACC slot, please.
Get Wake Forest
out.
We'll
get our teeth kicked in by the Lane train.
Wake Forest has done nothing relevant in football in my entire life.
Fighting Tim Duncan's.
Nice little play action. Cool slow RPOs, Wake Forest. You suck. Yeah. You should be demoted if you're buying out of games against other power teams. This is embarrassing, man. Who are you going to go play? Who are you going to go? You going to schedule the Citadel so you get an easy win to get to a bowl game? You should be ashamed of yourselves. And I'm glad that Lane Kiffin, after the game, was like, this is, dude, they canceled it after we had the trip there. They just played there.
They don't want to go to Ole Miss.
You don't think Ole Miss wanted to go to Wake Forest?
They wouldn't have done that when Sam Hartman was their quarterback.
We wouldn't have. This is so embarrassing. If you don't want to play him, don't play him, but don't make a team come to your house and then cancel the return trip where everybody's schedules are largely booked out next year. You know what I did think, though? Oregon State, Washington State?
Schedule.
There
calling
you go.
Up Ole Miss.
Call
Ole Miss
Lane.
Needs a game.
Oh, I'll
go
take Oxford.
Let's go to Oxford, dude. I think you do have a future game against Oxford, but it's not till like 2031. So what the hell,
do
dude?
We?
I think you do.
Why Lane
do you
know has that? An affinity for
I'm
the
a weirdo,
Pac-12.
Man. I'm
grew
a weirdo.
Up in it.
Ole Miss, by the way, is Tennessee, excuse me, because Swag says they're number one. They're at Oklahoma on the 21st. That's weekend.
This weekend. Yeah. It's the Josh Heupel return game. Josh Heupel won a national championship at Oklahoma, and he's returning to Norman.
By the way,
you'll hear
my
that
Tulane
game right here
Oklahoma
on the fan
upset was almost right. Tulane came back in that game.
They held tough. I don't think anybody's
Oklahoma
giving
Oklahoma got the touchdown at the end, but
nobody's giving Oklahoma a chance. By the way, you guys go to Ole Miss in 2027.
That's like a couple years. All right.
And they return to Corvallis in 2030.
Tennessee is at Oklahoma, then at Arkansas.
27. We
It's a couple
road
years.
Trip. Road
it's 3
trip.
Years from now, man.
The
You're
going to
be in Oxford.
I
road trip? You want to drive to Mississippi?
Drive to Mississippi?
Well, no. I mean, fly, I but like let's go on the road.
Yeah, you get the sales department on that one. I'd
now,
gladly go to the Ole Miss game.
Oh, I'm just talking about calling our boy Peyton and saying, hey, where should we stay?
Yeah, hook
let's
us up
go.
With something.
Wear some orange and black ties, show up to all the cocktail parties.
Oh, yeah,
parties.
Some seersucker. Let's find some orange and black seersucker and bow
like
ties
that.
And
yes.
shorts. Let's go.
I don't think Oregon plays. Oregon is at Baylor that year. That's their road non-conference game.
I think
game.
Georgia's struggle, and I know you said they struggled last time against Kentucky and they won the title, and you might end up being correct. They are Georgia. They had another off-field car incident.
They did.
It could also just be a weird year where Georgia's good, but maybe not as elite. And, like, Ole Miss and Tennessee are the best teams in the SEC this
year.
Yeah,
I'm not going there yet.
Why?
I'm not going there yet. And, look, I know that Georgia's played nobody, so you can throw that immediately back into my face. But there is a track record with Georgia's won national championships.
They did house Clemson. I do want to be
touché. They did house
Clemson.
Okay, I forgot about
awful.
That game. Touché. Who has Tennessee beaten this year? Go ahead and read off the schedule for me.
They just beat Kent State.
NC State. Was their only game of significance.
And that was on ABC, and they won by 41
51
points.
To 10, yes. Yeah. Yeah. NC State almost lost to Western Carolina in the first week of the season.
They offered to Kent State to have a running clock in the second half.
And they turned them down.
And they turned them down.
And who it's Ole Miss's best win so far?
I'd have to go look, but they don't have a good schedule.
Probably Wake Forest.
Yeah, probably.
The game that they won this weekend.
Yeah.
So that, like, I think both those teams are playoff teams. They've been awesome.
Middle Tennessee State.
Yeah, the Blue Raiders. I think that Tennessee is going to house Oklahoma this weekend. I don't think Oklahoma's very good. They've clearly struggled offensively this year, and the Jackson Arnold thing hasn't quite taken off like they thought it would. Mm. There's just an aspect of, like, you got to go win one of those games for me. As a fan, like, you got a rookie. Sophomore quarterback in Tennessee. He's got to show it in a big game. Ole Miss has a ton of talent, but they haven't been able to get over the hump against better opponents. Maybe this year's different, but to me, Georgia has had three straight trips to Kentucky where they have not scored 20 points, and they've gone on to win the national championship in two of those years.
That's why I wouldn't have sprayed the line on them last weekend. Only an idiot would.
Only an idiot would take minus 22.
Very quickly, and we'll go to the second hour here. Nico, according to the odds makers, is the biggest liability the sports book for the Heisman.
Because of the odds coming into the
year. His odds were like 16-1, and there's a lot of money on him. So if he wins, the books are going to be cooked.
So far, it looks like a great bet.
It does. Loaded second hour of the program. Are we ready for this in sports? But we kick it off with an update on the Pac-12 expansion. Next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.